Welcome into an episode of The Beaker here on Duckstream. The Anaheim Ducks 2025-26 season has come to a close after two rounds of the Stanley Cup playoffs, falling to the Vegas Golden Knights in six games. Following the team's exit from the playoffs, General Manager Pat Verbeek spoke with the media and shared his perspective of the team's growth this season.
What was your sort of evaluation of the playoff run in particular, of how things sort of played out?
Well, kind of stinks that I'm here talking to you today. I think in some ways it was disappointing. You know, there's, you know, you look at certain things over certain games, you know, that maybe kind of got away on us and that, you know, cost us a game or two here. But I think if, when I look at it, when it's disappointing, it's also satisfying in the sense that the group understands now that every play matters. You know, that every play that you make, you know, in a tight series matters. And so I think from that perspective, I'm really happy and satisfied that they got to go through that and they got to understand at some point what winning takes. And, you know, and that team there, they won a Stanley Cup. I don't know how many guys are still on the same team, but there's a good majority of them, and they understand. And those little plays, you know, they got the better of us in those circumstances, and it made a difference.
Is there anything that immediately jumps off the page to you of what this team is missing after seeing the playoff run?
Well, I think the young guys learned a lot. I mean, if you look across the ice, you know, and I had a couple talks with some of the younger guys today a little bit. You know, when you look at Eichel and how well he played, you look at Marner, how well he played. They played a 200-foot game, and they killed penalties. And so having our guys, having gone against those guys and understanding what winning looks like and what that sort of thing is invaluable. And so they have a better understanding of now of how much more work they've got to do and how much better they have to get. And that, to me, is priceless.
Pat, you said you had your statement with Aaron Teets out earlier.
Yeah.
That it felt like, you know, the real feeling like this is the beginning of something. It feels like there's a lot of optimism that's flowing through this place right now.
Yeah, I think certainly it... you know, the goal was to make the playoffs. You know, and then as the year kind of progressed, we started making improvements. And then I thought the playoffs was probably, we weren't perfect in probably the first round, but I thought this round we took a step in playing better defensively. Our power play, I thought our power play was a really good against a real stingy team. Our power play was working. Can we make improvements? Sure, I think. And penalty kill, I think I'd like us to make a couple more strides there. So there's a lot of, I was proud of how our young guys played. I was proud of how, you know, our older guys were great examples of for our younger guys, and so there's just a lot of positive things. Now, the expectation now is to make playoffs, but I think, you know, when I meet with a group, the expectation is, my message to them is going to be, guys, we haven't arrived. It's actually going to be harder to make the playoffs next year because you're not going to be sneaking up on anybody anymore. Players on the opposite teams are going to be very well prepared for you, and so you're going to have to be prepared to play hard and well every single night. And so that's going to be something that they need to think about all summer and be prepared for next season to tackle that.
Over those next few months, the ball's going to be maybe a little bit more in your court. How do you build on that? How do you build on that optimism as you, you know, massage the roster and make key decisions?
What do you mean? I'm not
just, and you know, whether, you know, roster things, you'll have obviously some contract talks and signings and all that, but just building on this optimism.
Well, I think that, you know, it's built, obviously, through our core of players, and then making sure that, you know, and you know, our veterans and, you know, they all come prepared to play. I mean, I'm going to look, you know, at some point, you know, I got to look and see how we can improve the team. It's obviously we're not quite good enough to get to the, you know, to the third round. So we got some more work to do. So, but I think there's going to be certain things, you know, there'll be maturity amongst our younger guys. They got another year under their belt. I think, you know, and expect another step from them. And just kind of keep growing it.
You brought in Crides over the summer, who's a reputed playoff performer. Obviously, Carlson,
yep.
Stanley Cup champion, the deadline.
Yep.
How would you evaluate their performance in the postseason?
Well, I think that there was obviously ups and downs, but you know, we were overall happy with the contribution. I mean, Crides, you know, scored some big goals, you know, for us in the first round. I think Game 6 scored a huge goal for us. And I thought Johnny gave us another solid pairing, solid veteran guy that could produce offensively for us to kind of take some pressure off of Jackson to perform. So there's a lot of positives from that aspect as far as their contributions to the team. You know, so you know, you're always searching for that consistency and execution, but you know, the reality is it's a tough league and it's hard to do every single night. Especially in the playoffs.
On D, you guys had a lot of depth and a lot of talent. Seemed like a lot of moving parts. Didn't really quite nail down the six guys you wanted. As you look toward next season, what are you looking at?
I think in certain, like, you're looking at, like, there's always different components that need to come in throughout the playoffs. Different vibes, different. You try to create different matchups that provide different looks for the other team to kind of worry about. So I think that's when you guys look at that. I wouldn't look at that at all. I think that you know, I think when you try to win a championship, you have to be as deep as you possibly can in every position. And I think we're fortunate to be able to have different looks and be able to provide different circumstances for players to play in different series. As if you look at the first series, it was a completely different series than this series. So, and that was the beautiful part about what our guys went through. They understand now that different styles to go up against different styles, that we're going to need different types of players to play against those different types of styles. So I think in a lot of situations, I think it's a good thing.
Speaking of that, D, you've got three key veteran UFAs coming up. I don't know if you want to retain all three or whatsoever, but how much do you want to retain some that veteran presence?
Well,
I think part of that, D.
Eric, I have to go through, you know, it's like I tell you guys every single year, okay, I got to go through, you know, I'm still kind of, it's still a little raw losing out. I'm going to take, you know, 2 to 3 weeks to sit there and look at it unemotionally. And, you know, sift through, you know, the decisions. Obviously, there's going to be some really tough decisions that are going to get made. But I'm going to take my time to do it. And I have time to, you know, to think about it and make the best possible decisions.
When you look to last summer, obviously two different negotiations with Mason going into camp and then Jackson getting done well ahead of time. How much does that impact the way that you kind of look at handling Cutter and Leo going into this offseason?
Well, in a perfect scenario, I'd like to be able to get them done in a week here. But, you know, obviously, you know, I'm hoping for the best, you know, to try and make sure that everybody's excited for training camp and all of us are happy. But, you know, unfortunately, I don't have a crystal ball to say how it's going to go. But, you know, we're going to do our best to make sure that we get everybody excited and there for camp.
But given that they're going to be pretty high-priced players, is there any impetus to get it maybe done before July 1 so you know what you have to work with? And
I'd like to get it, yeah. I'd like to get it done as soon as possible. But, you know, we all have to cooperate with one another, right? So that's the goal.
Yeah, there's two partners in that dance. I wanted to ask you one thing, the last one for me. Sorry, folks. You know, going back to Q's introductory press conference, you had mentioned that you guys were going to make connections and do work with local advocacy groups for sexual abuse, sexual assault survivors. Can you just follow up on that as far as any connections you've made, work you guys have done over the course of the season or plan to do this summer?
Well, we always kind of review that, and I think Joel's probably been just a touch more active in that area than I have. So if it falls on me, I probably got to do a better job, from my aspect. But I know Joel's been pretty active.
Pat, does the change in the CBA when it going from max term going from 8 to 7 years, does that impact when you want to?
Well, it won't impact. Any of our players till September 15, from my understanding. So we still have the ability to be able to, lay out 8-year deals till then. So I don't see it as a problem.
Year one with the new coaching staff, did they meet the expectations you had hoped for bringing them in?
Yeah, I was very, I'm very satisfied with, with the job that the coaching staff did. Making the playoffs but I think there was a lot of development, a lot of strides gained, as far as, our power play, our defensive game was improved steadily over the course of the year. There's probably one area that, like I said before, certainly the power play or the PK, I'd like to get a little better, but overall, extremely happy with the job the coaching staff has done, and I only see it getting better.
Speaking of that coaching staff, Jay Woodcroft's name has come up already in terms of any connections with openings whatsoever. Is there any scenario where you would not be comfortable with?
I would never hold a coach back from getting a head coaching job. There's only 32 of them, that's the pinnacle of his profession. So I would never hold him back from that.
It was an up and down season for McTavish with the contract dispute and getting healthy scratched a couple times. What do you want to see from him going into next season now that he's got that long-term contract?
I would probably, if we were to critique Mason, it's probably just more consistency from night to night. And I think, I think if you asked him, that would be his response as well. So, which ultimately, would lead to more ice time, which would mean, to never getting healthy scratch. So, that's all part. There's lots of pressures, when new contracts come out on younger players. And so sometimes it can, affect them, in a negative way, whether the pressure is putting too much pressure on themselves. And I think that happens a lot, and it's very common. So, next year, there's nothing to worry about as far as contract, and he can play, a more free game, on the ice, and not worry about the pressure.
When you look at that young group, the leadership roles that were put upon them, whether it was the A's on Leo and Jackson or Mason, and obviously some of this depends on whether or not Radko does come back, but is there any thought to handing over the leadership reins completely to the young group quite yet?
Well, I think the younger group's being encouraged to take over the reins, and especially by the veterans. I expect them to start, taking control. It's something we have conversations with the younger players about all the time, that it's certainly okay for them to start assuming and start to take the reins of is going to be their team.
What did you like about the way that Leo or Jackson in particular kind of stepped into those roles and made themselves leaders?
Well, I think that it's always when you're a young player, it's always uncomfortable or feels weird to be able to assume that role when you have guys that have won cups in the room, older guys that have been around, that have gone through a lot of different scenarios and different battles it's like I equate this to when I go hunting with my dogs, the older dog, the younger dog's always subservient to the older dog. And it's the same analogy here. And so, but at some point, our older guys are now inviting the younger players to take those roles and to take control of it. And so now it's our job, guys, it's now your turn, and to start taking it. And so it's just becoming comfortable in accepting that and taking it on as a role.
And then how would you evaluate Lukasz? Obviously a lot of workload on him. Is that something that you'd like to alleviate going into next year?
Well, yeah, he played a lot of games. You know, and obviously it's a tough, you know, not only physically, but I would say a tough grind mentally. And so we asked a lot of, you know, Lucas, and so obviously, you know, there'll be things that we talk about, you know, managing, you know, the games that he plays, and, you know, and it obviously it boils down to how the schedule, you know, works out, and, you know, that he's getting enough rest, not only physically, but mentally.
This is an Anaheim Ducks original production on DuckStream.